We're going to look together at the five B's of baptism. Baptism begins with a B, and we're going to look at five B's of baptism. And so rather than having one longer reading, we're going to have five shorter readings. Each has a B attached to it. So as you listen to the reading, the first one is Acts 22, 16, which is part of Paul giving his testimony. You're going to try and think, what might that B be? What might the B I'm thinking of be? So the first one, let's look at this. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Paul is giving his testimony, and he's describing how a man called Ananias came to speak to him after he'd met with God, or met with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be precise, on the Damascus road. And Ananias said to Paul, "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And so you might be already thinking, I know what that B is going to be. If it's to do with washing, it must be baptism is like a bath. Baptism is like a bath. So you might say, well, why did we bother to go out to Westbrook this morning? Why did we need to have all that water? And there was quite a lot of water in Westbrook this morning. Why did we need so much water? Well, that's because when the Bible talks about baptism, the word baptism means dip. If you're in any doubt about that, if you're unsure what a word means, find a place where it's not controversial and see how it's translated. Greek Old Testament, Naaman is told to dip in the Jordan River seven times. That's how it's translated. Why was this so important? This idea of the bath, baptism. So when you saw this morning, Jacob and Eve go down into the water, it's like a bath. Each one of these are pictures. And pictures are not the real thing. So we have pictures to remind ourselves of the real thing. So if you have a picture on your shelf of someone there, you'd rather have the person there, providing you get on with them, than the picture. Each one of these five things are pictures that we're looking at. And this first one we're saying is a bath. It needs to be a lot of water. And where does this go back to? Well, think about where baptism starts to occur. At the Jordan River. Do you remember that in the Old Testament, God's people, God's old covenant people, had one big problem, and it came again and again and again, they kept going the wrong way. And not just one or two, but the majority of them kept going the wrong way. Why was that? Because they didn't know the Lord. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that they kept having to say to their brothers and sisters, "Know the Lord." They knew about the Lord, but the majority of them didn't know him personally. That was the old covenant. A good covenant for the time, but a temporary covenant which Hebrews tells us is now obsolete. Why do you make something obsolete? Well, like if you have an old mobile phone, that becomes obsolete when the new one comes out. And God brought in the new covenant. And what did he say about the new covenant? He said they will not say, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me from the least to the greatest. Whoever's in the new covenant knows God personally. Now you might say, what's that got to do with baptism? Well, in the old covenant, if you wanted to join with the people of God, a Gentile wanting to come as far as they could within the people of God would have a ceremonial washing. But then this man came along called John the Baptist, and he did something that was absolutely outrageous. He called Jews to have a ceremonial washing. This was outrageous. The Pharisees were hopping mad. Why? Because he's saying to the Jews, you have sin that needs to be dealt with. And why was John the Baptist doing that? Because he is marking out God's new covenant people. Those people, what did John call people to do? He said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. And he marked out at the River Jordan, he began to mark out, starting with the Jews who were repenting, God's new covenant people. They were marked out, and the marker on them, this was a washing, because it was a cleansing from sin picture. Notice, a cleansing from sin picture. Now you remember, it's the Lord's table. First time that happens, Jesus got some bread and he broke it. And what did he say? This is my body. Jesus didn't say, this is a piece of bread which I'm showing you to represent my body. So don't get confused between the bread and my body, because this is actually bread, but it represents my body. He didn't bother with all that, because his disciples weren't stupid. Not about that anyway. He said, this is my body. And so in the verse in front of us, Acts 22:16, Paul is instructed to be baptized and wash away his sins. Not that the baptism is going to wash away sins. It's very clear from reading the whole of the book of Acts that people believed, they repented and believed, their sins were dealt with, and then they were baptized. That's absolutely clear. It's clear in the case of Paul. But it's a picture. Baptism is a picture. So when Jacob and Eve went into the water this morning, they were saying, they were testifying, they were rejoicing to say, my sin has been washed away by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been dealt with. It's a wonderful picture, the picture of a bath. You know what? We easily get dirty, don't we? And I went in the sea this week once in a seaweedy place, and I had a bath, and then I had a second bath, and then I bent down and smelt my knee and thought, I think I need another bath. We get dirty and the dirt gets in deep. Now, our sin gets deep inside. Who can wash our insides? We can't wash our insides. Our insides are dirty naturally. Every time we do something that's wrong, every time we break God's law. But God washes us clean on the inside. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And when we ask him to cleanse us, he cleanses us on the inside. That's not visible. And so there's a picture of something that we can see that reminds us that this morning, Eve and Jacob are saying, I've been cleaned on the inside. Jacob in his testimony was talking about needing assurance that his sin had been fully dealt with. But God's word says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And so therefore baptism has got a picture of a bath. Second thing that baptism is a picture of, it's a picture of burial. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. Colossians chapter 2 and 11 and 12. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12 says this. In him, that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So, now there's not one right way to immerse someone, but people have tended to immerse people in water by taking them backwards as if they are dying, because baptism has got this picture of burial. It's as if that there is a coffin in the water, a watery coffin, and obviously, if you go underwater for very long, you won't be alive anymore. Now, we brought Jacob and Eve back up quite fast. I'm sure they're happy about that. That's why there's two of us there, to make sure that happens quickly. But the picture of baptism is about a burial. Now, this links the burial in baptism to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we know about the burial of Jesus in the order in which his work was accomplished? He died on the cross. And what did he say on the cross right at the end? He said, the second last thing he said was, it is finished. It is finished. And so when he was buried in the ground, it was as if all the sins of his people were buried and gone, finished, over. And when someone becomes a Christian, they die to sin. So sin keeps people as slaves. It's like someone who starts to drink and they drink more and more and more and more until they're slaves to drink. Or they gamble and they gamble more and more and more until they're slaves to gambling. Or whatever it is, sin keeps us as a prisoner. But baptism is a picture of burial. And what it says is, the sin is gone. It's not just gone, paid for. The power of sin is broken. Sin still does remain in a believer's life, but it doesn't reign. It doesn't reign. So there's a wonderful rejoicing. So this morning, when they went underwater, we could have shouted as they went down, "Hallelujah, it is finished, the price is paid." We could have shouted, "Hallelujah, sin no longer reigns." It's a wonderful thing. Think about the Philippian jailer who got baptized. Think about all of his past life. He was obviously a bit of a rough character. Small bit of imagination would say there's probably a lot of stuff he's done in his past life that he would give him a serious conscience. He could well have been in the army for years before he became a jailer. And when he was baptized and he went down into the water there, his past, he's saying, it's gone, it's dealt with, it's finished. And that is the rejoicing. And it's good to rejoice in this, because you might be saying today, well, I have a life of sin behind me. My conscience troubles me. Can these sins be dealt with? And when we see the picture of baptism, a burial, it is this. Do we believe Jesus when he said, it is finished? If we believe what he says, when we put our trust in him, sin has no more hold on us. It's buried and gone. That's why we can rejoice. Now, you can probably see what's coming next. If we've had a bath, we've had burial, after burial comes birth, new birth. Let's turn to Romans 6. We could say a lot more about these texts that I'm turning us up to, but I'm trying to speed on. So Romans chapter 6, which brings out some of the thoughts we've just been saying and some more. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's what we've just been saying. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So this is linked to the verse that we read at the start of the service. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. And it's a very exciting moment when someone who's gone down into the water pops back up again. They're okay. And the idea is up. As Christ came up, Christ went down into the tomb and he rose. It's what it says here. We were buried with him. It's like we were with him into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. I don't know if you noticed that in the questions that I asked Eve and Jacob this morning, there was a progression. The first question was about what they'd done in the past. Had they repented of their sins, turned from their sins, and trusted Christ? We needed to know that. Second question was about where they get their authority from, the Bible. But the third question looked to the future and was looking at, in God's power, renouncing the world and living by faith in Christ in radical holiness. How is that possible in the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we rejoice here. Baptism is about new birth, a new start. I don't know if you've found Christians who have just been a Christian for, say, 3 months, 6 months, can sometimes put other Christians to shame. Have you noticed that? For their enthusiasm, because they are rejoicing. They've got new life, and they are absolutely thrilled with it. They want to know about the Bible. They want to renounce the world and live this radically holy life. Think about the Ethiopian eunuch. He was baptized, and then he went on his way. I mean, can you imagine? You're heading back to Africa as, you know, sometimes you think about pioneer missionaries going out, and they might be the first person in a country. Well, the Ethiopian eunuch was the first person in a continent. He's on his own, and he's got a radical change that has occurred to him. How did he go on his way? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Why was that? Because he's bursting with new life. And that's what we rejoice in when baptism occurs. Not just the burial of the sins, but the birth. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not sure that I'm able to be a Christian. If they're not a Christian, I'm not sure I'm able to do it. And that is absolutely correct. I don't have the power to do it. That's absolutely correct. I don't have the power to keep going. That's absolutely correct. Why do we know this? Because they need Christ's power, a power greater than they have within themselves. And that's the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the risen Jesus Christ. Well then, three B's down. It's a bath, it's a burial, and it's a birth in terms of the picture. But it's also, Galatians 3:27, a badge. Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27 says this: for as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, someone said to me this morning, I can't remember who it was, that it was quite appropriate that as we were conducting the baptism this morning, that there were people passing by. Because baptism, think back to the River Jordan, was a very public event. And it should be a public event. Because if someone's being baptized, then there shouldn't be anyone to be able to walk past to say, hypocrite. There might be someone walking past and saying, you were a real rotter back then, but not now. It is a testimony before the world that the person is identifying as a Christian. At one stage, it had huge implications. If you go back to Zurich in the 1520s, people were baptized, and then quite rapidly they were drowned because they didn't like them not being complying with the state. As many of you as baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Think about those soldiers who came to John the Baptist. Do you remember? There were soldiers who out of the Roman army who came to John the Baptist. We have it recorded in Luke's Gospel. And they ask him about repentance. Now, what do you think repentance would look like for a Roman soldier? This is a Roman soldier, part of an occupying force whose empire is based on slavery. Now, thinking modern ideas, what would you say to a soldier in an occupying force keeping an empire that's based on slavery? What did John the Baptist say about repentance? He said, be content with your wages and treat people fairly. He didn't say leave the army, but he said, you coming to me to be baptized, you are publicly identifying as a Christian, and in your setting, in your army setting, it must be absolutely clear by your conduct that sets you apart from every other soldier in the Roman army that you're a believer in Lord Jesus Christ. Because baptism is a badge, and as they came out publicly, as that circle is being drawn at the River Jordan in the New Covenant, you have got fishermen. You have got other Jewish believers, and you've got Roman soldiers in this New Covenant community that's being started. We put on Christ. It's a public declaration to the world about something that has happened already. That when we're baptized into Christ, we're put on Christ. In other words, we are united to Jesus Christ. Sometimes that concept can be a little bit hard to grasp. But think about it like this. That if I had my jacket still on, that the whole of the people in the Lord Jesus Christ are hanging on to the coattails of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when he died, they died to sin. When he rose, they rose. They are in Christ. This is this idea of the badge. People today are very interested in how we are to be identified. What characteristic or feeling identifies us? For the believer, if you say, what is your identity? Your answer is, I'm a Christian. And they'll say, well, are you in this group, that group, another group? You say, look, forget all those groups. My group is Christians. Those who Christ in the bath has washed their sins away. Those who've been buried with Christ and their sins are gone. Those who've been raised with Christ and have got newness of life. Those who are heading on to glory, they're my people. And I have more that unites me with them than anyone else in the world. That's the testimony of the Christian believer. Baptism is a badge. Well, finally, Ephesians 4 verses 3 to 6. The fifth B. We've seen the bath, the burial, the birth, the badge, and finally, the bond. The bond. Ephesians 4, verses 3 to 6. It says that we should be, Ephesians 4, verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And this is an extension of the things that I was previously saying about being united into Christ. Every single Christian believer has this unity. One Lord Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism. Think about the community that Paul left behind at Philippi. Those people that he baptized. Who was there? Well, he'd go into the place and he baptized the jailer. And then the jailer got up, the people in his household in the middle of the night. Paul preached to them and it records that they believed as well. So the jailer, his household, they believed. Remember, he was a bit of a rough diamond, wasn't he? Then you had that slave girl who'd been demon-possessed. She was delivered from her demon, trusted Christ, she was baptized. And then there was Lydia. I mean, she was super respectable, Jewish woman of means, businesswoman. And then it's interesting to think about these churches, isn't it, that Paul leaves behind. You've got the Philippian jailer and the slave and his household, the slave girl, Lydia, possibly her household as well, in this church. Can you imagine the people of Philippi? Possibly the greatest shock in Philippi is you've got this community, this church, this gathering. The church didn't have the same concept in those days as it does today. And the people of Philippi are looking around going, what kind of a group is that? Who mixes jailers, slave girls, and businesswomen with Jewish heritage? The answer is the bond of peace. The Spirit of God, having changed people's hearts, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So if you said to me, well, how would you describe a local church? Well, I would just describe it as what Paul left behind in Philippi, the people who'd been baptized in that area, who are publicly identified as God's people. And that's why it's lovely, we said at the start, that Jacob and Eve this morning, as they went down into the water and came up again, it's like walking through the door into the church. By being baptized, they became members of the church, Grace Baptist Church. And this is an important thing to remember, this bond, because in our very consumerist age, it's a happy thing that God says, I choose your brothers and sisters. Have you ever thought about that? The world says, I want to find a group of people who have my kind of segments. You might have things for 20s and 30s, or you might have things for pensioners, or you might have things for people from a certain socioeconomic group, etc., etc. But God says, I'm going to choose your family. And you don't deserve to be in it, and neither do they. But you're all going to be together. The bonds that baptism gives us. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Well, where does this leave us? So we put these things together in conclusion. We've thought about five things. We've thought about baptism as the bath, as the burial, as the birth, as the badge, and as the bond. Well, hopefully, many of you would have been listening to these things and you'll be thinking, yes, I can rejoice in these things. Maybe it's years since your baptism and you're thinking, wow, it's good to be reminded of the goodness of God, especially one who's taken away my sins. They're buried, they're gone. He's given me the Spirit of God within me. I can rejoice. And we can rejoice that God's still active. People say, is God still active today? What we say today, we've seen two people in whom God has been and is working. But it may be for you that you're someone who is a believer and have not yet come in the step of obedience like Jacob and Eve and actually been baptized. In fact, some of these things that I'm saying to you might be kind of slightly confusing to you. They might be new to you. You might not be used to them. Well, if you're if you've been worshipping with us, then do come and talk to me or to Ben or to Pierre about these things. I'm sure you're going to be going on holiday, but when I return, I am going to be studying with those who want to what we understand the scriptures to teach on baptism. So if you have never been scripturally baptized, do come and talk to me or to Ben or Pierre, and we can study what the scriptures say about these things. But it may be equally that there's some people here and you're just amazed by this. It seems kind of quite weird why someone would do this baptism in the sea and would think about these things. And if that's you, I hope that you will think about at least one of those pictures. And let me just take you back to the first one there, to the bath. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That within all of us, we are dirty on the inside. In me dwells no good thing. And the question is, can we dare stand before God dirty? The answer is no, we'll be condemned. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by dying on a cross, has paid the price for sin, and he gives us the offer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. The offer, as we watch someone being baptized, is to say, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Let me ask you as I close, do you know that cleansing from your sin? If not, why not? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you trust in him like the Philippian jailer, like the Ethiopian eunuch, like those soldiers at the River Jordan, like Jez, like Eve, like anyone you know who's trusted Christ, he will not let you down. And he will forgive you and cleanse you on the inside and give you his Spirit and ready you for heaven. Amen.